السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. I received some questions. People that ask certain questions, Islamic questions, which can be of benefit to us all. So one question you always hear, a person says that I don't feel the drive to do any good. I just don't feel in the mood, I don't feel like doing anything. Even my farz actions too, I don't feel like doing it. I don't feel like reading salah, I don't feel like reading Quran Sharif, making any azkar. I don't feel like staying away from guna. So whether it's on the positive side, whether it's on the negative side, both sides the person feels that I got no drive, I don't feel like doing anything. So how we deal with that? How must we deal with that? So the way to deal with that is to realize that my life is not about my feelings. My life is about pleasing Allah Ta'ala. What does Allah Ta'ala want from me? Not what I feel like doing. I'm in a mood, I'm not in a mood, no. My mood got absolutely nothing to do with anything. What is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala? See, when it comes to akhlaq, when it comes to akhlaq, how does a person adopt good akhlaq? You adopt good akhlaq by giving preference to others, not yourself. So you put your feelings aside and you worry about what the next person likes. You worry about what's going to make the next person comfortable. So for example, there's only one pillow. Now you worry about the next person's comfort. That person forgot his pillow. You went in Jamaat, he forgot his pillow. You brought your pillow. You can't get another pillow here now. He goes to open his bedding and he realizes, I forgot my pillow. So now, you say, hey, but you know what? I don't even use a pillow. Never mind, you keep my pillow. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Now that is good akhlaq. You now giving that person preference over yourself. And you're doing it in such a way that he doesn't even know you did him a favor. You don't make him hear for it. You don't expect anything in return. All you want is the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. That's all. Right? So when we can understand that when it comes to humans, then why can't we understand that when it comes to Allah Ta'ala? That my life is not about how I'm feeling. I'm in a mood to do this, I'm not in a mood to do that. No. My mood got nothing to do with it. At that time when you're sacrificing your pillow, you need that pillow. When you go to sleep at night, you can't fall off to sleep because you're so used to sleeping with the pillow. But you're sacrificing and you're giving that person the pillow, even though it's giving taklif to you. No problem. No problem. But I'm sacrificing for that person's comfort. So in my life, I'm sacrificing for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. I must make Allah Ta'ala happy. So whether I'm in the mood, whether I'm not in the mood, I have to do what Allah Pak wants me to do. And if I want to become His beloved, then I have to carry out the optional deeds also. One is the farais. You cannot get close to Allah Ta'ala by any deed, like how you can get close to Allah Ta'ala by fulfilling the farais. Right? And then after fulfilling the farais, you start carrying out optional ibadat. And you continue carrying out optional ibadat until you become the beloved of Allah. You get close to Allah Ta'ala by performing your fara'is. See, to understand it, let's take a madrasa situation. In order to get close to the asatiza, you have to apply and join the madrasa. Isn't it? You apply, you join the madrasa, then you can sit in the dars of the madrasa. Now you can be in close proximity of the asatiza, you can study under them, you can benefit from them. But if you want to become somebody that the ustad has muhabbat for, right? So now you have to do a lot of, I'm not saying you must make my khidmat. I'm trying to explain to you via an example. Now if you want to become such that you, the ustad has got love for you, so number one, you make sure you know your work. You always early in class. You don't give the ustad an opportunity to be upset with you. So you stay away from the negatives. Right? And then you'll do positives. Which if you don't do, you still pass. If you don't do, you still regard it as a student. But now you want to bring water for the ustad. You want to go carry the ustad's kitabs. You want to put the ustad's shoes straight. Right? You want to travel with the ustad. Right? You want to see to the comfort of the ustad. That's not part of your application. That's not part of your sanad. If you don't do those things, you still qualify. Right? But now if you do these things, you'll find a special place in that ustad's heart. Right? So like that, you have to fulfill your fara'is. Stay away from the gunas. Stay away from the gunas. And then carry out optional deeds. Now you become the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. Right? Now if a person says, no, I'm not in the mood. Well, you are lost by. A person, he makes his mood his God. Now that's his problem. No? So a person who makes his mood his God. So he didn't learn La ilaha illallah. He hasn't understood La ilaha illallah. That I have to worry about what my Allah wants of me. Not what I want to do. So it's my birthday. I want to have a party. But Allah never allow me to do that. So I won't have it. I'll do what Allah wants me to do. Understand? There's so many examples, but you're intelligent people. You'll understand, right? So, as I said to you, these questions over a period of time now, so many questions, I made a note of them. And some of these questions I felt will be good for us all. We'll be able to benefit from this. Gee. So, a lot of things like that now, mood related. Sometimes, initially, you're in a josh. I'm reading so many paras door, so much zikr I'm making, so much that I'm making. Now I don't feel like. So that I don't feel like shouldn't be, it shouldn't feature anyway. I have to do this and I have to do it. Finish. You get people that work for the dunya. They're working for the dunya, they're going to work. So many mornings they'll wake up and they don't feel like going to work. Maybe three. Maybe they wake up one morning, nice, grey day, drizzling little bit, Albert Falls cold. Say, hey, you know what, if I could just sleep today. Today I just feel like having a good sleep. But the person knows, hey, I got to pay the bills. I got to go to work. The mother, she got small children. The child troubled her the whole night, colic, this, that. Next morning, the other children need to go to madrasa, school. In the morning, you know what, if I would just rest, the baby just slept away now, if I can just sleep. But now she knows, now my husband is going to work, I got to wake up, give him breakfast, tie his sandwiches for him, my children are away, I got to make day lunch for them. So that's my time. Whether I feel like doing it, I don't feel like doing it, I got to wake up and do it. So if you know that I need to read so much Quran Sharif daily, I need to make so much zikr daily, I need to read so much Durood Sharif, whatever your muamalat are, but I have to do it. So if I'm unable to do it, if I'm saying to myself that I'm unable to do it, then I'm coward. I'm weak. I'm coward. But that doesn't mean you remain like that your whole life. That's why you go through an Islahi process. But if a person, despite going through an Islahi process, don't want to listen, now what you will do? A person can see that, look, I'm stagnating. Now I'm not only stagnating, I'm now going reverse gear now. I'm retrogressing. Right? And the person still doesn't want to listen. It's like I went and filled one bottle with water there. And before I went to fill it, people are telling me that, see, there's some filth, some napaki in the bottle. But I don't want to listen. I finished filling, somebody is telling me, your bottle is leaking. There's a hole at the bottle. I don't want to listen. So if I don't want to listen, that's my pride. You know? So I'll sit with a loss. I'll sit with loss. I won't have any water, or if I got water, it's going to be napak water. It's my own loss. Understand? Yeah. Now the ijtima is coming. Understand? So some people are asking, they say that now can I buy the, I don't eat from takeaways. Person says, I don't eat from takeaways. Right? I don't eat, that's my taqwa, my preference, I don't eat from takeaways. So now, the takeaway food in the ijtima, right, is that mustafna? Meaning now in the ijtima, if they got takeaway in the ijtima, they're selling some burgers and pizza. I don't know what they're selling there. I'm just saying if they're selling some burgers, pizzas, tikkas, whatever. So why do they sell those things in the ijtima? You ever went and found out from the elders why they sell in the ijtima? Those things were not there before. Why they introduced the tikka stand? When I say before, I'm talking about before. Because in your lifetime, you know tikka stand to be in the ijtima. I'm talking about before. There was no tikka stand there. So how come they got a tikka stand? How come they sell burgers and pizzas and all? So they sell all that, not because that is part of the ijtima program. No. They sell all that because, unfortunately, we have become so spoiled that even for those 1-2 days, we can't eat ijtima food. We can't make some sacrifice and eat the ijtima food. Although there's absolutely nothing wrong with the ijtima food, but we don't want to eat it for whatever our reasons may be. Right? So the elders, they are afraid that now you're going to leave the ijtima. And you're going to go outside to the takeaways to go and look for food over there. And when you go there, there's going to be music there. There's going to be women there. There's going to be drugs there. There's so much other haram taking place. So they say, look, the lesser of the evil, we rather make that food here. So the person who genuinely, he doesn't want to eat the ijtima food, but he needs food to eat, now what is he going to do? Right? Or maybe the person came, he reached there late, lunch is already over, now he needs to eat something so he can buy something to eat. That is the reason that they sell food there. Not because that's part of the program. So if a person, he doesn't eat takeaway food, then why is he even asking the question? If you don't eat, so that is also takeaway food, don't eat. Eat the food what they cooked in the Ijtima. And now if you want to say, but I don't know that meat of the day is stunned or not stunned, eat the rice then. Eat the rice then, eat, have potato, have bread. Why you make a big issue about it? That what can we eat and what can't we eat? And if it's so, if it's such a, an issue, carry your food. Carry your food. Take some khajur, take some biscuit, don't go off. You don't need a fridge, nothing. Carry some biscuit, some rusk, whatever. Carry some khajur with you and live on that for how long it is? Like 2 days. So I make an issue of something that's not an issue, right? It's not an issue at all. You must always remember, whatever level of taqwa you have chosen for yourself, so you must make aman upon it. You don't allow somebody to bring you down. So now, that, but you don't expect all other people to accommodate you. So now the other side of this question is, but now if other people bought it and they bring for me to eat, they bring for me to eat. It happens in the Ijtimaas, no? People feel generous, you know, so on to bayan, your heart opens up and you see you want to do some making. So now they bought and now if you don't eat, then they question you. So when will all that happen? When you're not sitting in the bayan. Then all that will happen. If you're sitting in the bayan, you're right there in the front, nobody bringing nothing for you over there. So if you're following the tartib of the ijtima, you won't have these challenges. But now you see, you want to meet up with the old friends. Sometimes you were in another madrasa before, now you want to meet up with those satis. Then you face all these problems. But if you're in the ijtima, you're sitting there in the front, you won't have no problem. Eating time, you go and eat there in the feeding, in the food tent there, eating tent. After that you, if it's Qailula time, you go make your Qailula. If it's Tanim time, you're sitting in the Tanim. Then where's the time for all these other sideshows? The sideshows happens to the people who sit on the side. Then they get involved in all the sideshows. Right? So our duty in the Ijtima, we must see what is the program and follow the program. Then you won't have any of these problems. Right? But those people who are asking sincerely, so the answer is simple, that's also a takeaway. So if you are a person that you don't eat takeaway food, then don't eat takeaway food, eat the food, go in the tent and eat. And if you got doubt on that food too, then carry your own food and go, no problem. Gee. So that's that. Then there is another question, so that does a person have to have a sheikh to go to Jannah in order to please Allah Ta'ala? Do you have to have a sheikh? Yes? So, if the answer is no, then all this is a waste of time, right? So why are we wasting our time? Why have all this piri, muridi and must report to the sheikh and all for what? Just it's a waste of time, rather just shout the whole thing, right? So sometimes students, they never do mantik also, but they ask mantiki questions, right? So if the answer is that you can go to Jannat without a sheikh, then all this thing is futile. We're just wasting our time with this thing, just shout, close it up. And if the answer is that you can only go to Jannat if you got a sheikh, and you made your Islam on that. So then that means all the people who got no mashayikh, and that may be the majority of people, so they all bring Jannah. So, you know, what we got to ask ourselves is simple question. When a person makes ta'alluq with the sheikh, so, what is the sheikh telling him to do? What is the sheikh telling him to do? He is telling him to follow the Shariat and the Sunnah. He is helping him to follow Shariat and Sunnah. That's all. So, the question is not, can I only go to Jannah if I got a sheikh? No. I will only go to Jannat if I follow Shariat and Sunnah. For that is what will make Allah Ta'ala happy. So that is the road to Jannat. Yes? If Allah Ta'ala wants to put the worst of what we will call the worst of sinner, Allah wants to put him in Jannat out of His mercy, nobody can question Allah Ta'ala. But the tariqah that Allah Ta'ala gave is, you be obedient to me, you worship me, you don't commit shirk, you be obedient to me, you go to Jannat. More obedient you are, you get higher stages in Jannat. Right? And if you disobey me, you commit shirk, you commit kufr, a person dies on kufr and shirk, Allahumma hafazna, then he will spend eternity in Jahannam. Right? And if a person got iman, but he got a lot of gunas and all of that, then there is a possibility he's going to go to Jahannam to pay for his gunas first. And when he comes to Jannat, he's not going to be in Ala Jannat, he's not going to be in Jannat al-Firdaus and all that, because there is a low level of Jannat also. So Allah Pak got the low levels in Jannat for a reason too. So there are people that are going to go to those low levels also. There are people that are going to have the smallest Jannat compared to everybody else also. Right? So the Shaykh is only assisting the person to follow the Shariat and the Sunnah. The work of Taqdeer. Now you can ask the same question. So if you go out in Taqdeer, right? Can you only go Jannat if you join the Jama'ah? Can you not make your own effort and go Jannat without the Jama'ah? And if it is that no, you have to join the Jama'ah, then only you can go Jannat, then that means all the people not going in Jama'ah, they're going in Jahannam. It's a foolish way of thinking, eh? It's a foolish way, a very shallow, foolish way of thinking. The work of Tabligh, what is the work of Tabligh being? The work of Tabligh, what is it being? It's teaching you how to follow Shariat and Sunnah. Because that's the road to earn the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Then the same question can be asked about studying Deen. Yeah? That only those who study Deen will go Jannat. So can you go Jannat without studying Deen? So then rather close all the madrasas up, because you can go Jannat without studying Deen. So why go through all this process? And if it is that you have to study Deen, then only you go Jannat, then that means all going Jahannam, because majority are not studying Deen. It's a very foolish way of thinking, right? The thing is that we have to please Allah Ta'ala, we have to follow the Shariat, we have to follow the Sunnah. So all these different works of Deen are making it easier for us, are showing us the road. Showing us the road, how to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala, how to follow the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is going to then lead to our success, our salvation, with the permission and the mercy and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand? Ji. So that's the answer to that question, right? Now you get a person who says that, you know, I got certain inclinations. Somebody says, I'm inclined to zina, for example. Or I'm inclined to gambling. Or I'm inclined to drugging. Or I'm inclined to clubbing. Whatever the person's guna, whatever shaitan is using to try and mislead the person. The person says, no, I've got heavy inclination towards this thing. And you know, I can't say, I don't know why I'm feeling like this and why I've got these inclinations. You see, if every person was not going to get any inclination to commit guna, then he shouldn't be here. He should be with the malaika. Isn't it? For the malaika, they don't have feelings. They don't have a nafs. So they don't feel like committing any sin. The fact that we are here amongst humans, we are human beings, that means we are going to get all these thoughts. Thoughts towards guna, thought to do this, thought to do that. Now, If we expect the thoughts not to come, right? If we expect the thoughts not to come, then that means Shaitan, one is if we expect the thoughts not to come. The thoughts come from one of two places, right? Either from the nafs or from the whisperings of the devil. So if we expect ourselves not to have a nafs, then we're supposed to be with the malaika. Yeah? We're supposed to be up there with the angels. The fact that we're here with the humans, then that means we're going to be got a nafs. So if we got a nafs, then the nafs is going to incline towards evil. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. So the nafs is going to incline towards evil. Even Sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we get such thoughts, we are ashamed to even bring it on our tongues. And sometimes the thought comes in namaz also. So what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him? This is iman. This is iman. Why? Because it's worrying you. It's troubling you. If the person never has iman, it won't trouble you. Now what Shaitan will tell a person? No, it's not troubling you. If it is not troubling you, you won't find out. You see? If it is not troubling you, you won't find out. The fact that you're finding out, it means it's troubling you. But Shaitan will tell the person, no, see, maybe you are the devil incarnate. Yeah? That's why you're getting these thoughts. It's not troubling you. No, you like that. You like, no. The fact that the person is finding out, it means the thing is worrying the person. Why am I thinking that? Why am I getting... Now, to ask why, the example of that, I'm driving the motor car, the tires are supposed to have the function of turning. Now, the tire got punctured. Okay? Tire got punctured. Now I get out of the car. I'm looking at this puncture. The car can't move now. Now why I got this puncture? Now you're sitting there and you're trying to figure out why I got this puncture. That's foolish. What I must do? Jack it up, change the tire and get moving. I'm on a journey. I've got no time for this thing here. Why this car got punctured here now? Oh, it's got a nail. Who put the nail? Why they put the nail? Why? No, this is all shaitani thoughts. This is all shaitani thoughts. I need to get the jack, get the spanner, change the tire and move. I'm on a journey. I've got no time for this thing here. I need to keep moving. Long as when I'm on the road and I'm driving, I'm following the rules. Right? That's important. Now, if I want the thoughts not to come from my nafs, then I'm supposed to be in the realm of the malaika. I'm not going to get there, so forget about it. If I want the thoughts not to come because Shaitan mustn't give me the thoughts, bichara, he would have to go stand in the line there to collect UIF. You know what is UIF? Unemployment fund. What he's going to do if he don't put the thoughts? That's his time. He can't be out of a job. He got his purpose in the world. So he's doing his work. He's doing his work. Oh, what's my work? I must burn the thoughts. The cook gathers wood. He gathers coal to put under the pot. Right? The job of the coal and the wood is to cook. The job of the match is to light it. Everything got its job. So, Shaitan's job is to put the filthy thoughts in my heart and my mind. My nafs wants to take enjoyment from that. My duty is I'm not going to go along with this. I'm not going to go along with this. Shaitan is bringing filthy thoughts. My nafs is taking pleasure in it. But Ya Allah, my journey is not to them. My journey is to you. So I'm not going to take pleasure in this. Right? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to talk to you. I'm talking to you. Everything else, bar lutadu. I threw everything else out of the heart. Khana e dil, in the heart, is Allah. That's all. The thoughts can come, let it come. No problem. I'm not going to entertain it. The thoughts coming, I can't stop. Me entertaining it is my action. Thoughts coming is not my guna. Me entertaining the thought, building on the thought, this is my action. This I'm getting guna for. So I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because my Allah is watching me. And I need to please Him. That's my duty. Right? So Hazrat Rahmatullahi will conclude on this. He used to say, you need the coal, the wood, and you need a good fire if you want to cook that biryani. You don't eat the coal and the wood. You burn the coal and the wood to get the biryani. When the biryani starts cooking, then the fragrance goes on and on. Then so many people benefit from it. Understand? So that's what happened when you, this age, you are youth. Shaitan, all the filthy thoughts that he's bringing is the wood and the coal. You got to burn it with the zikrullah, the fire of love, the fire of Allah Ta'ala's love. You burn that wood, you burn that coal. More wood he bring, more coal. Yeah, he's working for you. He's working for you. He is the wood, he must gather the wood and the coal and come and put it. We will burn it with the love of Allah. We'll burn it, we'll put more love of Allah. If he didn't bring those thoughts, what's going to be the fuel? If the nafs was not going to demand, what's going to be the fuel? How are you going to get Jannah? Malaika don't get Jannah by, because they don't have to fight their nafs. You have to fight the nafs. So no matter how evil, no matter how bad, the better the quality charcoal, the better the fire. The bigger the wood you bring, the better the fire. So let him do his work, you do your work. You burn it with the fire of love. Now when you're going to burn it with the fire of love, the noor of Allah Ta'ala is going to come in that heart. You're going to be fragranced with the noor of Allah Ta'ala, the marifat of Allah Ta'ala, the qurb of Allah Ta'ala. Allah knows what, that shaitan is also his banda. Allah knows what shaitan is putting there. What takaza is bringing that thought. And Allah knows how you are burning it. You saying, La ilaha illallah, only Allah. I'm not going to listen to you, I'm listening to Allah. I'm burning this thought. You bring another one, I'll burn that one. You bring another one, I'll burn it. Now, a fire will come in your heart. A fire of Allah Ta'ala's love. A fragrance. Now forget only you benefiting, the alam will benefit from you now. But you have to make the fight. So shaitan is working for you, man. He's bringing all the wood and everything, all the thoughts is the wood, he's working for you. What you worry about? The thoughts mustn't perturb us, long as I'm remaining in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is the Tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته